Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Let others obsess on the horse race. We have issues. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And today begins Public Safety Week in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. For the next 5 days, we will talk about keeping people safe from crime and terrorism. Of course, the key issue in the city so far has been stop and frisk. But we will go beyond that to incorporate how to actually reduce crime with or without that one Ray Kelly tool. We'll begin with a couple of clips from the debate I moderated last week in the Democratic primary runoff for New York City Public Advocate between State Senator Daniel Squadron and City Council member Letitia James. That election is tomorrow. I asked the candidates to go beyond their critiques of stop and frisk, which were similar, to say what they would want to see done to keep driving down violent crime in the city. Here's Letitia James's answer first.
Yes. So I was happy to vote to override the mayor's veto on the Community Safety Act to reform stop and frisk and to ban racial profiling in the city of New York. But moving forward, I've worked with Commissioner Kelly for surveillance cameras. That was the first initiative when I came to the city council. And now city council members are in a position to provide discretionary dollars for surveillance cameras in the city of New York. And Commissioner Kelly gives me credit. In addition to that, community policing is absolutely critically important in the city of New York. And in addition to that, I would also focus on gangs. And I'm glad that the mayor now recognizes and the police commissioner recognizes that it's really critically important that we can have safety without violating the rights of individuals and that the focus really should be on gangs and being embedded with gangs and focusing on their activity on the Internet. It is critically important in the city of New York.
So Letitia James from the debate last week, and I think it was interesting that she mentioned community policing and anti-gang work as two of the things that she supports Ray Kelly on. We'll talk about that when our guests come on in a minute. So here is the answer to the same question from Daniel Squadron. Beyond opposing stop and frisk in its present form, what would he like to see done to continue to reduce crime in New York City?
Yes, and a big part of this is about guns. You know, I have been fighting to get illegal guns off our streets for my entire career in the Senate. I wrote the state assault weapons ban. I've been pushed micro-stamping of guns, which would make it easier to get illegal guns off the street. I've called for special legislative action to deal with the scourge of gun violence. I've seen too many kids in my district and across the city who are killed by gun violence. You know, the truth is, across the city, communities are dealing with this issue. And some of the things they're doing, some of their initiatives, are really making sense. An anti-violence initiative in my district on the Lower East Side at a place called Campos Plaza that was and still is in many ways beset by gun violence has had a real effect. One of the things the public advocate has to do is partner with communities and individuals that have good ideas and figure out how to give them a citywide pressure and platform to make them reality.
So Letitia James and Daniel Squadron on crime reduction policies other than stop and frisk. Again, their runoff election is tomorrow, in case those answers give you a meaningful comparison. And later in the program this morning, we will play more excerpts from that debate to further help you make up your mind. You can also hear the full hour-long debate at WNYC.org. But we played those excerpts right now to kick off Public Safety Week in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. Our first guests in this series are very involved in their communities. Eric Adams is a candidate who has been on both sides of the police community divide. He is the likely incoming Brooklyn Borough president. He has the Democratic nomination, and there is no Republican candidate. Before his election to the state assembly in 2006, he was a New York City police officer, rising to the rank of captain and co-founder of the group 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care. Eric Adams, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
How are you, Brian?
I know you're state senator. I think I called you an assemblyman a minute ago. And
that's okay.
Pastor Guilford Monrose. He's the pastor of the Mount Zion Church of God in Brooklyn. And he is a community activist. He's been part of coalitions that respond to violence, active in coordination between the police and the community. Some of you may remember he was on the show in the aftermath of the Kamani Gray shooting. So, Pastor Gil, welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thank you so much, Brian, and good to have you.
And I want to take the long view and talk about a little history first. In Mayor Koch's first year in office, 1978, there were about 1,800 murders in the city. In his final year in office, 1989, it was up to more than 2,200, followed by more than 2,600 in 1990, David Dinkins' first year. Then the turnaround began. In Dinkins' final year, about 200 murders a year less, then down another 400 in Giuliani's first year, 1994, but that was still 2,000 murders. Well, this year, as of the other day, there were just 240 murders in the city, down sharply from last year's 327, remarkably still going down at that kind of a clip, the fewest number of murders since the 1950s, and coincidentally or not, with the number of stop and frisks down by about the same percentage. Eric Adams, could you have believed this was even possible when you first joined the police force?
No, not when I first joined the department. But several years later, I met a brilliant man named Jack Maple, who's no longer here with us. He passed away. And he sat down with me. I was part of the the change in how we counted crime. And we created a computer system called OLTPS, where Commissioner Bratton looked at a different approach to fighting crime, borrowed from the broken window theory. Excuse me. It was at that time that I realized that we were about to break into something new on dealing with crime. And I saw through what Jack Maples and Commissioner Bratton did that we can actually turn around how crime is dealt with.
So that computer system is the one popularly known as CompStat?
Yes, it's an aspect of that. It's real-time reporting of crime, and it has continued to evolve. Both Commissioner Safer, and then when Bloomberg came into office, Commissioner Kelly also took a look at that, and it has continued to grow into this system we see today of looking at crime, everything from our cameras to reporting to holding chiefs and local police commanders, you know, responsible for what happened. And so what we didn't do, unfortunately, we didn't use that great tool to also look at how do we improve the quality of life of New Yorkers, and how don't we abuse police practices.
Mm-hmm. So the computer system, more detailed, hyper-local number crunching on crime and the tactics used to fight it. And were you indicating that you support the broken windows theory, busting people for small things like turnstile jumping, under the theory that many of those are the same people who would go on to violent crime if not shown there are consequences?
Yes, but it's not only about busting them. We moved to a policy and a model that handcuffs first. In our society, with those numbers that you just showed, it also shows an embarrassing statistic of the number of people we incarcerate. You can't have a productive society if you incarcerate a high number of young people before they start out with their lives. And so I support broken window. I don't support that every infraction is deserving of a person going to jail. We're putting people in jail who have expired insurance cards on their vehicle. Incarceration can't be the answer in a civilized society for every infraction that takes place.
Pastor Gill, in Letitia James' answer in the clip we played, she cited the Bloomberg and Ray Kelly anti-gang focus as a policy that she agrees with. Daniel Squadron focused the effort to crack down on illegal guns getting into the city. Do you think that going forward in a New York that is a lot safer than it used to be, those are two of the keys to the future?
Yes, I think that those are two basic points, but the other area that I would like to bring forward is that we have to remember also, too, that with the number of churches in the borough of Brooklyn, even alone, real estate is not an issue for us. So putting programs into churches, and also when you talk about East Flatbush, that there is no community center within a 3 miles radius of the Command and Grace situation, it lends to the idea that we have to do more as well too, not only to bust up the gangs, but also to give those who are in crews, loosely crews, not gang members as yet, an alternative to just hanging out in the street and finding bad influences. So I think that would be another component to those two, that dimension as well.
Pastor Gill, Mayor Bloomberg said the other day that most of New York City's violent crime today is in two areas, the Southeast Bronx and Central Brooklyn. Do you agree with that? And if so, why do those areas, including the area where your church is located, remain the most stubborn?
Yes, I agree, definitely. If you look at a map of Brooklyn, you can see right across the board the 67th precinct, the 73rd, the 75th precinct. Those are very high in terms of crime and gun violence. And one of the things is that those are very depressed areas economically. And so there needs to be some type of federal response as well. If you look at it historically, the 67th precinct have never received any type of federal funding or state funding that deals primarily with gun violence, even though you have the other areas in Brownsville and East New York do have some of those what you call interrupters program. So I think that historically speaking, East Flatbush have not looked as or have been considered a place of high crime and gun violence simply because there's no projects in the area. The houses are well known. There's good families from the Caribbean who are homeowners. So when you drive through East Flatbush, you can't really tell. We hide our poverty very well. And I think that moving forward, we need to allocate some serious resources in Central Brooklyn to be able to alleviate the problem that we have with gun violence.
Senator Adams, Pastor Gill just mentioned poverty, but the violent crime rate is going down in general, even as the poverty rate in the city has been going up the last few years to more than 20% right now, which is an embarrassment and a horror for a city with as much money as New York. But has poverty become disconnected from violent crime?
Well, I think that poverty has always been disconnected. I think that, as Pastor just mentioned, that the everyday New Yorker may not be, living an affluent lifestyle and they're struggling to make ends meet, but they're proud individuals. And they get up every morning and go to their place of employment, send their children to school, and hope to aspire to a greater life. And so they're not out there committing violent crimes. And because someone is living in a poverty lifestyle in Brooklyn, 24% of its residents live below the poverty line or equal to the poverty line, those individuals are not merely committing crimes. I think there are three dynamics that we have ignored around the issue of crime. One is undiagnosed mental health issues. We have a large number of young people who are dealing with some mental health issues that we have not addressed. We have a large number of young people who age out of foster care and don't receive the necessary resources that they deserve. The second is, and the pastor touched on, the city does not respect on-the-ground organizations and institutions, and we don't give them any financial support. They do a great job on their own, raising money every year, and we are not giving on-the-ground institutions and organizations like SOS, Man Up, and these very popular organizations and groups that played a major role in a decrease of crime, yet they have to go into the couch cushion to find a quarter to buy a Metro card to go respond to a criminal issue. And we need to change that and understand that. And the third is the lack of opportunities in our inner city. You know, you don't fight gangs without having a place where children can play games. You know, we need centers and other alternative programs that allow children not to be caught up in the street element or the gang environment that's taking place, and we're not doing that at all. Our only answer to fighting crime is incarceration, and that is not an answer.
Pastor Gill, Stop and Frisk is supposed to be an anti-gun program. Do you recommend other methods to focus on more to get the guns off the streets?
And I think that if you look in our communities and if you look at there is always a Ms. Johnson who can tell you exactly where the trouble areas are. And I think that specific good police work would be that we definitely have the communication with the people on the ground that the senator just mentioned, of these organizations, we know where the trouble spots are, that they can directly go to these areas. So I think that moving forward in the type of community policing that we need is that we have to get good intelligence on the ground, just as we spend a lot of money dealing with intelligence for counterterrorism. We need the same type of intelligence in our communities that deals specifically of who's running the guns into our community and specifically target those areas. I think that is going to help us tremendously.
State Senator Eric Adams, the likely incoming Brooklyn Borough President and founder of 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care, and Pastor Gil Monrose from the Mount Zion Church of God in East Flatbush. He's also founding president of the 67th Precinct Clergy Council. As we talk about crime in the city and reducing crime even further in the city under the next administration, no matter who the mayor is. And Pastor Gil, now we have the Joe Lota campaign warning that de Blasio would risk taking us back to the bad old days of higher crime. I don't know if you endorse in mayoral races. You could tell us. But what would risk going back to the bad old days, in your opinion?
And I think that I've spoken to definitely Joe Lota about the crime issues at my church. And yes, I did support Bill de Blasio for mayor. I think that moving forward, that there cannot be, whether Republican or Democratic candidates, talking about a spike in crime going up when we know that there are tools that are working. When you have clergy council that are being really doing good work on the ground in a different precinct, especially in the Brooklyn area, we are not going to say because of the absence of stop and frisk that we are going to allow the crime to go back up, because stop and frisk was only one tool. But again, when you have churches who have been engaged and involved, when you have faith-based organizations who have been doing good work on the ground in helping our young people stay them away from crime, from the crime and the gun and the gangs in our communities, these are also attributes, and we are entrenched in our communities. So it would be hard-pressed for anyone to believe, whether Republican or Democrat getting into being the mayor, that crime is going to go up. And so I think that with the work that has been done before, what we need going forward is a commitment to strengthen organizations who are on the ground doing the work that will be able to augment what the police department is doing moving forward. So I don't think that it is true that if Bill de Blasio gets in to be the next mayor of this great city, that crime is going to go up at all.
Eric Adams, from a historical perspective, having been a police captain, before there was the stop and frisk controversy under Bloomberg, there was the street crimes unit controversy under Giuliani, when that innocent Bronx man, Amadou Diallo, was shot and killed by police in 1999 when they misinterpreted his actions as he was entering his own apartment building. How similar were these programs? Because we stopped hearing about Street Crimes Unit after Bloomberg was elected. But then eventually, in the last few years, we started to hear about stop and frisk. And it seems to be the same conversation. So how similar, how different was 1999 from today in terms of police tactics and what would come next?
You know, and that's such a great question, and no one has asked that question for the most part in the larger universe, because you hit it dead on. It is the same program. What Street Crime Unit was doing, it was a group of men and women who were assigned to plain clothes assignment in unmarked police vehicles, and they would pull up their car next to whoever they thought, based on ethnicity, was a criminal. They would stop them, they would search them, they would frisk them, and then if they didn't find anything, they would let them go, and they would go to the next person. What happened under Commissioner Kelly, it was no longer the men and women in the street crime unit doing this. It became every member of the New York City Police Department that was on patrol. So it was no longer people in civilian attire. It was people in civilian attire or in police uniform. We took the street crime unit and put it on steroids and had every officer conducting what street crime unit was doing. And the irony here, here you have one of the greatest police departments on the globe. It's much better than what we did, because there is not one empirical study that is a correlation between the decrease in crime and using stop and frisk. There's no study that has ever been created that states it is because of stop and frisk, the abuse of stop and frisk, that we were able to bring down crime. There's a series of combinations that has caused this great decrease in crime. And the police department deserves credit for it. But at the same time that we give them credit, we must hold them accountable for the extensive abuse of civil rights of young people with color. And some of that created police records for them.
All right. And there you have it, folks, the beginning of Public Safety Week in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series here on the Brian Lehrer Show. We'll get a different view tomorrow. We thank State Senator Eric Adams, the likely incoming Brooklyn Borough President, as he is the Democratic nominee without a Republican opponent, and Pastor Gil Monroe's from Mount Zion Church in East Flatbush. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you. Take care, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Eric.
And still to come on the show today, more excerpts from our public advocate primary runoff debate. That election is tomorrow. This time we'll avoid the clips getting all the media attention where they attack each other. Instead, we'll play some of the ones where they actually say what they would try to do in office. Imagine that. And we'll talk to Nina Monk, an author who criticizes Jeffrey Sachs' attempt to end world poverty. Her new book about Sachs is called The Idealist.